Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we have a very special guest, Jessa Khan. She's a 2023 world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She's fighting in One Fight Night 14 on September 29th. It's on Amazon Prime. And it's a very, very unique event because it's an all-female headliner. How are you feeling today, Jessa?
I'm feeling good. You know, I just finished training, so I'm excited to do this interview.
Awesome. What did you train? Where were you? Can you give us a little bit more details?
Yes. I'm here in Costa Mesa, California, training at Order Jiu-Jitsu Brothers. You know, I'm training for my upcoming fight this month with Danielle Kelly.
Awesome. Yeah, you have a win over her already, right? From who's number one?
Yes.
Nice. How was the content of that match? Was that a great fight? Or how did it go?
It was a good fight. It happened about 2 years ago at who's number one. The rule set was pretty similar to how one championship is. This time it was 15 minutes sub only, and one is
okay.
Only, so pretty similar.
Nice.
Well, I came out with the win, but I was unable to get the submission over her. But I felt like the whole match, I was pretty much leading the pace of the fight.
Nice. And are there any advantages with this rule set, or?
You know, it's pretty similar to the one that I did. I will have less time, you know, 10 minutes, but
yeah.
You know, I've been studying, like, my match with her and, like, just
nice.
For recent matches. So now I'm kind of, like, adjusting my game to, like, hopefully get the submission over her this time.
Awesome. And we'll circle back to your strategy and your training and, you know, ideas about the Danielle Kelly fight. But first, I kind of want to start off from the beginning. Like, how did you get started with BJJ? I read that you are a United States native, right? You grew up in Texas?
Yes, I kind of lived all over. My dad was in the Navy, so we, you know, we bounced around a lot. But I started jiu-jitsu in Hawaii, actually. My dad got stationed
there. Oh, cool. That was okay.
2 years and started with like a Helsing Gracie school.
Nice. How old were you?
I was about 8 at the time.
Okay. So that's when you started BJJ?
Yeah.
That's interesting. There's a lot of judo in Hawaii, too. You know, I'm a judo guy, actually. A lot of Japanese judo situation happening over there.
Yeah. Right?
Did you do any judo over there at all?
No, not until I got a little bit older.
Nice. Where did you do that?
Sorry?
Where did you do judo?
In Virginia.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Yeah, so you really were all over the place.
Yeah, so I'll kind of give you a little backstory. So I was born in Texas, lived there for a couple of years, and then we moved to California for a couple of years, and then we moved to Hawaii. And yeah, I started jiu-jitsu there, lived there for 2 years. After that, we moved to Maine for 1 year.
Okay.
And then in Virginia for almost 4 years, and then back to California. And then my dad retired from the Navy.
Oh, and now you're in California. That's where you live. That's where you train, all of that. Nice. That's amazing. And you have a very strong ties to Cambodia, right? Because I read everywhere, like Cambodian champ, Cambodia, this and that. So you're kind of the Cambodian star.
Half Mexican. But in 2018, someone from Cambodia started a jiu-jitsu team like to fight like internationally. And like they reached. So that's kind of like how I started getting more involved with like my Cambodian roots.
Oh, okay. So do you ever go there and then do you train?
Yeah, I've been there in Cambodia 4 or 5 times now.
Oh, yeah, it's probably really great, right? Beautiful over there?
I mean, it's nice. It's still like third world country. But no, some parts of it are nice. And yeah, it's still disappointing.
Nice. What's the BJJ scene like over there? Like, do you go there, train, and do seminars and stuff?
No. So actually, Cambodia actually only has one jiu-jitsu school.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So normally there you get a lot of foreigners that are just coming in and out of Cambodia. That like want to find a spot to train. So then you get a lot of visitors.
Yeah, vacation rolling is the best.
Sorry?
Vacation rolling?
Yeah. As far as that, I normally go like a week or two before I'm going to compete for them.
Yeah.
Then a couple of weeks after you're trained with it. But
nice.
Mostly, there's not really opportunity yet to do seminars just because people in Cambodia, they're very limited on their resources, like, you know, what they put their money on. And some of them are still trying to understand what jiu-jitsu is.
Sounds good. So you compete for Cambodia, like, in the 2018 Asian Games?
Yes. Then we're actually this year.
Great. And then they called it the Niwaza event. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so they say Niwaza, but it's pretty much just, like ground game, like jiu-jitsu.
But, yes.
Yeah, they have gi and no gi. So most of the events are gi, but we had SEA Games this past year, and Cambodia got to host it. So we actually got to decide to have gi and no gi. So I got to compete in two different divisions.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And then do you always compete for Cambodia, or do you ever compete for the US when you go to, like, I know you said you took a bronze. Oh, you didn't say, but we already know, like, you took a bronze at the 2023 European Championships and the Santa Cruz International Open. Like, did you compete for Cambodia or the United States?
For those events that I do, it's called an organization, IBJJF. And for those, like, you don't represent a country whenever you compete. It's just the jiu-jitsu gym that you're training at. But
nice.
That's international. I represent Cambodia.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. So what are some of your, like, current training methods? Like, you're getting ready. You're obviously out there competing a lot, winning a lot. You know, are there specific things about your game that you want to work on? Like, you know, strengths and weaknesses. Like, what are some of your ideas about that, if you would want to share with us?
You know, there's so many different types of training styles at AOJ. You know, we get a lot of people that come in and out of AOJ to come train. You know, Professor Gi is my main professor. And, you know, he's pretty much been with me ever since, like, I was, like, a little orange belt. So, you know.
Orange belt, okay.
Yeah, he's definitely helped evolve my game. And, you know, every year, you know, we're always trying to add new tools to our game and get better. And right now, our main focus is no-gi. So we're just trying to, you know, work on techniques that will happen in our fight.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I guess it is no-gi season, right? Like, PANs are coming up. ADCC trials are coming up.
Yeah.
Do you plan on doing any of those guys?
More people from AOJ are starting to train no-gi now because we're shifting to no-gi season now.
Nice. That's great. And what is your style of jiu-jitsu, would you say? Like, what is your game? Like, do you have a strong takedown game? Do you like being on top or bottom?
Normally, I prefer, like, you know, pulling guard and then going from there. I normally pull guard, try to get on top, or, you know, pull guard, submit. But
okay.
I feel well-rounded being on bottom or top. And also, if my takedowns, you know, I did wrestling for a couple of years, so I'm...
Oh, okay.
I like that, like, situation happened.
Nice. Tell us a little bit more about that wrestling. I'm kind of curious. I wrestled in college myself, so it's like, yeah. I love that stuff. You know?
I actually started club wrestling. But
wow.
I think it was only, like, maybe once or twice a week. You know, I did little tournaments with, like, my club. And then I kind of stopped. And then whenever I moved from Hawaii to Maine, I lived there only for a year. And that's pretty much, like, how I blew up with jiu-jitsu. I was just jiu-jitsu at the time. And I was fighting, like, a Naga tournament, like, every weekend. And that's pretty much, like, how I grew my name on, like, social media and stuff.
Yeah.
And once I moved to Virginia, that's when I started wrestling from middle school. So I wrestled both years from middle school. And then that's when I actually started judo. And then I got to, like, my yellow belt and stuff.
What? So judo, wrestling, BJJ, you do all of it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned social media. So, like, do you have a Instagram account that some of our followers can follow? Plug that, you know?
Yes.
A lot of people listen, so.
On. I'd love for everyone to follow my journey. And
what is it?
Forward to this fight. Jessa Khan.
JessaKhan.
Yes.
All right, perfect. That's amazing. So now, would you say, like, I mean, at least you would say, but, like, you are, you know, would you say, is this what you do full time 100% of the time, or?
No, this is what I do full time. This is my life, you know.
Nice.
I train in the morning and I teach in the evening.
Nice.
You know,
nice,
that's where I make my consistent money is by teaching classes. AOJ does a great job of that, and they have, like, many opportunities for everyone that's trying to be athletes to also get the opportunity to try to teach, you know, learn and become a good instructor.
And do you do private lessons too? Is there, like, inflow of that? Is that something that you do?
So I do private lessons pretty often. I have a consistent group of, like, little girls that I teach that want to be just me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that is definitely one of the questions that I always ask our guests, you know, advice for young grapplers, but we'll get to that when we get to that. What's the women's grappling scene like right now where you are in the world? Like, I know for sure, like, it's definitely growing, especially in wrestling. Women's wrestling is taking on a life of its own in the United States. Like, what does that look like to you from where you're sitting?
Yeah, I mean, women's grappling, it's definitely growing. I feel like every sport right now is growing, you know, definitely all this social media attention. But, you know, jiu-jitsu right now, we're getting a lot more females that are getting recognized for their work and getting, like, now, like, paid the same as men. We recently had another event that a couple people were watching that was BJJ Stars. And now this female, like, 8-man bracket, now they're actually getting paid the same amount as a man. So, like, that's, like, a huge stepping stone for the sport as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like all these like shows, like, you know, Who's Number One, and even One Fight Night for, you know, a lot of women competing. It's kind of amazing. Love it. Love it. So what specifically are you doing in terms of training for Danielle Kelly? Like, can you tell us a little bit about her style, her game, and like the ways you're trying to, obviously you don't have to go too much in depth, you know, because you're competing against her, right? You don't want to give away your secrets, right? Like, I'm only going to go for a clock choke over there, right? You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm training as if it was like any other competition or any other person. You know, I don't really focus too much on the other person's game. I feel like sometimes, you know, that stuff gets like into people's heads. So I don't,
that's true.
I don't like to train that way. But, you know, I've obviously, you know, I still have to study her game just to like know what to like look out for. But I'm mainly focused on my game, you know, improving on, you know, certain aspects of my game. You know, I've always had a really good, well-rounded no-gi game, you know, always attacking, very aggressive, you know, always good at like finding ways to get to the submission or to the back. This time nice. I've adjusted some of the submissions I'm doing. That way I can actually get her to tap. Because like I said, about 2 years ago when we fought, I was attacking a lot and getting like submission after submission, but just nothing would work. You know, she just had a very good submission. She was very flexible. So now I'm figuring out like what submissions actually try to attack this time around in order for her.
Yeah. So do you get into like positional training where you're like trying to work on finishing mechanics from certain positions? Like, is that a big portion of your training, or do you just kind of roll and then just try to get to that position in order to work on it?
You know, I switch it up. There's people where I go with that are just mainly for hard rounds, and there's certain people that I go with that are for me to try to hit these new, you know, like you kind of have to balance it out because, you know, it's hard when you're training with someone just like hard sparring all the time because they're like, both people aren't really able to open up because we just train together so much. So yeah, sometimes I go with a couple people that are a little bit lower level, but I'm able to work on my new techniques and do like situation scoring.
And you have a lot of people your size too, because I know you're on the lighter side of the spectrum when it comes to the weight class and stuff like this. But do you have a lot of training partners that are your size who are female, who are good as you, that challenge you in the room? Or, you know, what does that look like in terms of training
partners? Yeah, recently we've been having a lot of girls that are starting to join AOJ, and like even some of like our little ones that are coming up. There's tons of girls my weight. Everyone's kind of like spread out as far as level. You know, we got a couple blue belts, got a couple purple, brown, but we're all pretty similar in size. And you know, there are a couple girls that challenge me that I train with. Like I said, there are some that I normally use to like help with my technique in like certain situations.
Nice, nice. So is Danielle Kelly, like, is she like her feet, or like, what would you say her best strengths are? What would you say her weaknesses are?
I mean,
I know you didn't want to like, you know, make it about her so much, but we're just kind of curious. You know, I'm sure the listeners are curious because they see you listening to this. They kind of want to hear about the other person a little bit too. And, you know, they want to hear what's going on in your head when it comes to this stuff and how you view her jiu-jitsu going into this fight. So,
I mean, I think she also has some good takedowns. I know in our fight that we did, she was able to take me down, and I was trying to get a guillotine off of that. So that's like one situation that might possibly happen this time around again.
Yeah.
You know, she had a really good defense. She was very flexible. I'd say that was probably her best thing that she had to her game, was being very flexible. But yeah, I feel like the match is pretty much going to go the same way like that it did 2 years ago. That
awesome.
You're pretty much going to be seeing me like pushing the pace of the fight and trying to hunt after that submission. You know, I'm going to be definitely even more hungrier this time around.
Definitely.
But nothing that she did that was really threatening in her match. So it's kind of hard to say like how this one will go. All
right. So what is your favorite takedown? What is your favorite throw? And what is your favorite submission? That's a good one, right?
Single legs are easy. Like, there's so many ways that you can catch them. Thrills, I guess maybe like a hip toss.
Always fun.
Yeah, but I know always fun. The way I like to do it is like I like to counter when people do a single leg. You get like a
win. Oh, yeah, yeah.
From there.
It's nice. I love that.
Yeah. And then favorite submission is probably armbar.
Awesome. Armbar's great.
Or you can hit them from any position.
You know, true. You talking about the Kimura variety or like the straight variety?
For the armbar?
Yeah. Straight variety?
Just straight, you know, sometimes belly down, sometimes a little shoulder lock and close guard. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. And so last two more questions, right, before we get going. Thank you so much for being here, by the way. What does martial arts mean to you? Like, you're a lifelong martial artist. You've been training it your whole life, and that's what you do full time, right? So you've dedicated your whole life to this. What does martial arts mean to you?
It means a lot. Like, I feel like no matter what martial art you're in, like, all of it's important. And, you know, I really respect, like, everyone's love for the sport. Especially for one, you know, grabbing, like, all girls headline the card. And I think that's so, because everyone's also in a different martial art. It's not like it's just one big jiu-jitsu tournament. It's all spread out. There's jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, MMA. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this card, right? One Fight Night, September 29th. It's on Amazon Prime. And like we spoke about, it's an all-female headliner. What does that mean?
You know, that's amazing. It's great for the sport.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, girls are finally getting more recognition for their hard work as males are. And I think that's very important for the next generation. And I'm happy I'm given the opportunity to be a part of that. You know, this is, if I win that belt, I'll be the first one ever to win a belt for submission grappling in one championship. And, you know, that's going to be a part of history. And I'm so glad I can be a part of that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that before. All female headliner fighting event. You know, whether it's MMA, and this is a blend, right? There's MMA, there's Muay Thai, there's jiu-jitsu or grappling. Are they called submission grappling? So that's an amazing thing. Congratulations for getting there and hope for the best for you, you know, getting out there. If you have any advice for younger grapplers, maybe some of your students that are watching you or listening to you, what would you say to them?
I'd say to keep chasing after your dreams. You know, anything is possible as long as, like, you're willing to put the work in and you're dedicated. You know, this is a big stepping stone for a woman's jiu-jitsu, for a woman in general, and also
for sure.
You know, I'm really happy to be a part of that. You know, I'm gonna try to do my best to make history, bring home that belt, and you know, I hope the next generation of, like, younger girls that are into jiu-jitsu will also have the same opportunity or even bigger.
Any practical tips for the younger grapplers? Like, always carry sandals in your backpack or something like this. Like, or tape. Tape is a big one.
I don't know. Probably bring an extra hair tie. You know, us girls.
That's huge. You know, I had longer hair, so I definitely, you know, always scramble around looking for it, right? I have a stash in the dojo. Yeah. You know, very important stuff. Well, thank you, Jessa. Thank you so much for being on with us. We hope for the very best. Guys, if you're listening, One Fight Night, 14 September 29th on Amazon Prime. Check her out with her fight against Danielle Kelly. It's going to be great. And thank you so much, Jessa, for coming on for this interview. One last thing. Where can we find you one more time?
You can find me on Instagram at Jessa Khan. And you can also find me on Amazon Prime the end of September for my one fight with Danielle Kelly.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.